This is a reading of the first of the four mystery dramas by Rudolf Steiner entitled The Portal of Initiation. The synopsis of the interlude, which is between scenes 7 and 8. Estella tells of a performance which has a similar plot to the mystery drama, with a fundamental difference that it ends where the latter begins. Sophia's words about the creative capacity of the artist and the need of our time to lift it into full consciousness form a prologue to scene 8. End of synopsis. Interlude. It is assumed that the preceding scenes were the performance which Sophia has attended, and that she is visited again on the following day by her friend Estella. The following takes place in the same room as the prelude. Sophia. Do forgive me, Estella, for letting you wait. I was busy with the children. Estella. I had to come back. I'm so fond of you that I always long to share with you everything that stirs me deeply. Sophia, you will always find me with ready interest in everything that affects you. Estella, the play, The Uprooted, moved me so very much. It may seem odd to you, but there were moments when all the human suffering I have ever known or observed seemed to take shape before me. With great artistic power, the play presents not only the outward misfortunes of people, but with astonishing insight, a profound suffering of soul. Sophia, it is difficult to form an accurate idea of a play or of any work of art by simply hearing about it, but I'd be glad if you would tell me what it was that moved you so much. Estella, the dramatic construction was wonderful. The playwright shows how a young painter loses all his creative joy when he begins to grow uncertain in his love for a woman. She had given him the incentive to develop his talents. In her, through the purest enthusiasm for his art, a selfless love had sprung up, and thanks to this he was able to develop all his capacities. One might say he bloomed in the sunlight of his benefactor. As he was often in her company, his feelings of gratitude gradually grew into a passionate love. This caused him to neglect more and more a poor girl who had been faithfully devoted to him. His indifference made her realize she had lost the heart of the man she loved, and she finally died of grief. When he heard of her death, the news did not seriously disturb him, because by now his feelings belonged only to his benefactor. Yet he gradually had to come to the conclusion that her friendly feelings would never change into passionate love. This drove all creative joy out of his soul, and his inner life became ever more desolate. Now the young woman who he had forsaken began to haunt his memory, and what had once been a man of promise became a desolate ruin of one. Without a single ray of hope, he ended in utter despair. All this is enacted with the most vivid dramatic intensity. Sophia, I can see how powerfully this play would affect you. I remember even when you were a child you used to suffer when you saw the fate of unhappy people, driven by misfortune into bitterness and misery. Estella, you misunderstand me, Sophia, dear. I can easily distinguish between a dramatic work of art and reality. We must not judge art by the same feelings as those aroused in us by similar events in real life. We must judge it for what it actually is. What stirred me so deeply was nothing but the perfection of the artistic handling of a serious problem. I recognized again, quite clearly, that art can only reach to such heights by being faithful to the whole of life. The moment it departs from this, it becomes untrue. Sophia, I understand you perfectly when you say that. I've always admired writers who could represent what you call the faithfulness to life, and it seems to me that particularly nowadays many have achieved a mastery in this. But it is just these great artistic achievements that have aroused in me a certain uneasiness. For a long time I couldn't explain it. Then one day a light dawned on me that provided the answer. Estella, and now you are going to tell me that your worldview has led you away from your former appreciation of realistic art? Sophia, well, let's not talk about my worldview today, for you know quite well that I felt like this long before I had the slightest knowledge of what you call my worldview. And I don't feel this only about so-called realistic art, but other schools, too, make a similar impression. This happens when I become aware of what I would call the untruthfulness, in a deeper sense, of various works of art. Estella, I really don't follow you there. Sophia, just consider, Estella. When you have perceived the complete reality of life, there comes into your heart a feeling of a certain poverty in works of art. for of course the greatest artist is only a bungler compared with the perfection of nature. The most finished artistic representation can never give me at least what I can get from the revelation of a landscape or a human face. Estella, but that is in the nature of things and can't be altered. Sophia, it could be altered if people would only be clear on one point. They should realize that it is senseless to imitate with human forces what higher powers have already spread out before us as consummate works of art. Yet it is those same powers that have implanted in man the urge to continue the work of creation. Man can actually give to the world what those powers have not yet set before the senses. It is where the powers of creation have left the world of matter unfinished that man can apply his creative striving. Why should he then imitate nature's perfection imperfectly when he can transform what is unfinished in her into completion? Imagine this idea changed into an elemental feeling, and you will understand why so much that you call art makes me feel uncomfortable. It is distressing to look at an imperfect representation of sense reality when even the most imperfect rendering of what lies hidden from external observation may prove to be a revelation. Estella, you are talking about something that nowhere exists. A genuine artist will never try to make a mere copy of nature. Sophia, that is just why so many works of art are unsatisfying. A creative person is led by the creative activity itself beyond nature, but he does not yet know the appearance of anything that lies beyond his sense perception. Estella, there is no possible way for us to understand each other on this point. It is very sad to me to see that in the most important human problems, my dearest friend takes such a different path from my own. I hope our friendship will see better times. Sophia, in this we should be able to accept whatever life has in store for us. Estella, goodbye, Sophia, dear. Sophia, goodbye, my Estella. Curtain. End of prelude.